Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning. This is Tech Talk on WRLR 88.3 FM in Round Lake Heights here. And we're back after an insane Thanksgiving. We're back and we're on air and we're going to have a great show today. Got a lot of cool stuff going on today. Not only the usual regular mess of stuff, but we have a very, very special guest is going to come back on with us today. Dave Sinaki is going to Skype in from Canada. He's like international now, and we're gonna connect with him. We're gonna talk to him in just a little bit and see what's going on in tech news. And maybe he's got like some special Canadian tech news. We'll have to find out. Barring that, though, we still got our regular set of news. We got Jay Garman going to join us here in just a little bit. And then, of course, as always, the cool sites of the week. Podcast-only song of the week as well. I'm debating how painful the... I've selected a podcast-only song of the week right now, but I couldn't make it through the entire song. It's so painful. So I'm not sure if we're gonna play it all the way through, but I'll give it a try. I'll give it a try. We'll get there. I'm not gonna give you the surprise. You're gonna have to listen through to the end of the show in order to find out what it is I'm talking about and why it could be possibly so painful. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I am not going to jump into any of the crazy news that is going on right now. And instead, I think what we'll do is we'll try to give Mr. Sinaki a buzz right away and find out what he's got on tap for news here, too. Now, as always, we're doing this. Now, this is going Skype to Skype, so this should be pretty clean. But as always, with technology here on the Tech Show, you know there's... There's always a chance for for oddness. And as a matter of fact, I think we're getting some... Oh, wait.
The person whom you're trying to reach
no!
is currently unavailable.
Oh, no. He's unavailable. That's not possible. We'll try him again in just a couple of seconds. Okay, before we get into that, I will unleash some news on you right away. So, crazed millionaire's deadly meltdown. That was the one I was going to start with. I'm sure Dave's going to have something to weigh in on this. I don't know if you heard about this, though. I don't know how you couldn't hear about it. I'm reading the headline from the Inquirer that was brought in to us by Customer Jones, who actually stopped by the studio this morning, dropped off some news articles to make sure that we did not miss out on John McAfee. If you know McAfee software, yes, McAfee antivirus software, you've known it, you've loved it for decades, literally, at this point. The guy is a multi-millionaire and retired, sold the company, ran off to Belize, and now is suspected of having shot his American neighbor. The American neighbor, his name is Gregory Fall, age 52. And McAfee is just reported to be a complete... I'm trying to think of a political word to use for this. He's a nut job. He's a wacko. He's hiding in Belize. He's reportedly doing different amounts of drugs, getting lots of guns. He's kind of paranoid, gone over the edge. They've got all sorts of things on him. I guess the way that they've described him, which would be the most politically correct, is they've said that he's a very complex individual. and he recently had an interview in Wired magazine, and in Wired magazine article he talks about his life in Belize, and he talks about the fact he's very open about the fact that he has some issues and he has some problems, not only with with drugs and with alcohol, but just in general skirting the law and things. And in fact, he said the Belize really has a pirate culture, and it's still a pirate haven, and it's run along the lines established centuries ago by the likes of Captain Morgan, Blackbeard, and Captain Barrow.
I was trying Dave again there without any luck.
But he said that this is what has led him to have some of the issues. Now, bath salts came into this as well, that new drug, bath salts, but also crystal meth. So it's not that he's, doing the newly legal marijuana kind of thing like you can do in Florida and other states now, but it sounds like he's really into some of the more obscure and hardcore stuff. Now, the Inquirer, which has a little more intense ideas of things that he might be doing, talks about his bizarre sex life and an obsession with creating female Viagra. And the quote from the Inquirer is, he had a whole garbage bag filled with prescription drugs. This man is not a stable guy. So, something to keep out and an eye for is if you are making antivirus software and become very successful at it, don't move to Belize. I think that's the lesson I'm taking away from this. And give up on any of those crazy female Viagra ideas, too. It just ain't going to work, and you're going to wind up getting so frustrated you'll shoot your next-door neighbor. So I'm going to give Dave another shot here. Now, I had just spoken to him before the show. So,
the person whom you're trying to
darn
reach
it. Dave Sinaki, where are you? Get involved. If you're listening, Dave, right now, give us a call. Come on online, and we'll try to make this work. I'm going to give him a shot in just another minute as well before we bring on Jay. But if we do run into hard problems there, we'll just bring Jay on and go from there. What else has been going on in technology? Of course, we're talking about now that all sorts of things happening with Thanksgiving. You've got Black Friday just got done with. And as usual, if you look online, you're going to find tons and tons of video about people swarming the stores looking for the newest technology. The big one this year seems to be phones, really. Yeah, people are just insane for phones. The iPhone 5, of course, is a big one that has come out. Now, the iPad mini is also another big shopping thing that people want for this year. I've seen a number of posts from my friends on Facebook and people posting to the Tech Talk, facebook.com/TechTalkWRLR, telling me that they're interested in getting the iPad mini and wondering, is it a good deal? Is this what we should get, is the iPad mini? Interestingly enough, now, a good friend of mine and listener of the show, longtime listener of the show, Greg, I will not give his last name, but Greg is a pilot, amateur pilot. He talked about the fact that he's actually selling his full-blown iPad now. He's just bought it like a month or two ago, paid full price for it, which these days is running over $800 for an iPad 3. Turning it over, selling it at a cheap rate because why? He wants to get the iPad mini. Now, that really intrigued me. I haven't heard a lot of people that have made the switch from the full-blown iPad to an iPad mini. Now, people entering the market of tablets, I see them reaching for those iPad minis because it is such an attractive form factor. But he's actually turning it around and going from a full iPad to the iPad mini. And I asked him why that would be. What is his use case scenario that made him immediately, like 3 months after purchasing the iPad 3, the iPad mini comes out and he says, I got to get rid of this and get the new one. He does it. The reason why, as I mentioned, he's an amateur pilot. He flies, and that's his hobby, and this is what he does. One of the things that you need when you're flying quite a bit is, of course, you need to have your manuals and your documentation and all this. And he had been using his iPad as a kind of a flight handbook, keeping documentation on the instrumentation, on the plane, information about where and how you can land and things like that. And oh my gosh, there we go. Hey, I think we've got Mr. Sinaki on air.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
There he is. Good. Very good. Sorry, we were trying to connect from the other direction, and it wasn't working out so well. But this seems to work wonderfully.
what would Tech Talk be without technical difficulties? I'm actually on the road, and we're dealing with hotel Wi-Fi.
Oh, man. So are you actually in Canada, though, right now?
Actually, I'm not. I can't tell you where I am. It's a state secret.
I was hoping for the international flavor here, but good enough, man. I'm very excited to have you join us and come on and be able to connect again. This is awesome. I hope I didn't steal your thunder, though. I know you wanted to come on and talk about the news and things, and I was just sharing with people how Customer Jones actually made a special trip to the studio because of her just a shock and amazement of the whole McAfee thing down in Belize. And
great. You know, that's a great story.
Yeah. I don't know what there is to add to it. I mean, the guy went crazy. He had millions of dollars, flew to Belize to do lots of drugs, and then shot somebody. I don't know what else to say about it.
I've never. I'm trying to find a diplomatic way to say this. I've never been crazy about McAfee. You know, early on, there were some questions about whether he really did or did not, whether he himself created security issues. And hello to Customer Jones, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. A big hello. I like I said, it was the first time I'd ever met her, seen her in person. So that was kind of a cool thing. And
I'm very sorry I missed that.
Yeah. She was nice enough to drop off the information and so on. Yeah, you know, I had forgotten about that. You're right, though, with McAfee, that there was some suspicion that they were self-generating their own crisis. Kind of like the firefighters accused of lighting fires in order to be able to get paid to put them out.
Right. You and I both know that some software you love and trust, and for me, McAfee was never quite in that category.
No, you're right. Yeah, I liked Norton quite a bit, and especially once I got to using more enterprise level software applications, McAfee's interface and the reports that were available for it never really thrilled me in the way that some of the Symantec stuff in particular, but also to, like I said, the Norton antivirus software. I was always very pleased with the information I was able to get out of Norton. I will say McAfee did have the prettiest sales reps of any of the groups. So
and that's worth a lot when the network's down.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Some other tech news. What's going on with Hewlett-Packard? Talk about head scratchers in terms of, McAfee certainly had his head scratcher years ago with like you said, the controversy about possibly self-generating stuff. Hewlett-Packard now, have you heard about this? $5 billion write-off they're taking?
No. I hadn't heard about that.
They acquired a software company called Autonomy, and last year for like $11 billion in that range. I don't have the article in front of me right this second. And now, in their latest financial report, they're saying that they overpaid by $5 billion. That Autonomy misrepresented what they were worth by to the tune of $5 billion.
Wow. Yeah. That's not small. That's
that's a pretty big oops.
Yeah.
Their accountants were Deloitte on this, which that's even more startling to think that they had. And you would think for a transaction like this, they'd want a top-flight accounting firm. But have you ever heard of Autonomy?
No, I haven't. I'm not familiar with that at all. What was it supposed to do, or what was the point of it for them?
Well, that's the other thing. I read half a dozen articles about it. This whole thing fascinated me, and I read half a dozen articles about it. None of the articles mentioned what Autonomy did. They're a UK company. And I couldn't for the life of me imagine what they were doing that was worth $11 billion. And if you read their website, it's Orwellian market speak. They do meaning based software. They create it and administer meaning based. What the heck does that mean? But what they do is You'd love this. This is the company you should actually work for, Michael. No, seriously, they take raw data and they figure out what it means, and they charge people a lot of money to do that.
Now that does sound up my alley. I love stuff like that. So they're, you know what they're doing? They're leveraging your existing data information resources in order to enable your organization to make data-driven decisions to move into the future of your corporation. Now, I haven't read their website or anything. But
somebody's in front of a computer.
No. I haven't looked it up. I'm just telling you, based on what you told me, I can tell you that's exactly what they're going to tell you they can do. So that's off the top of my head.
Fantastic.
That's just my guess. Because you're right. That's exactly the kind of thing that I could walk right into, and I love that kind of stuff. Data-driven decision making is a really critical, important part of the way that organizations move into the future and the way that they make decisions for their organization. Now, some are a lot more difficult to get on board with doing this type of thing. The school districts are a case in point, trying to push data-driven decision making within the school districts, which is something that I strove to do for 10 years. It was such an uphill battle. People don't want to move away from doing things they've always done in the way that they've always done them. But, you know, I guess what I'm doing is I'm playing devil's advocate here, though. It does sound like this is a bit of a goofy enterprise for HP to invest in, but the root idea of this, and what was this company called again?
Autonomy.
Autonomy. The root idea of it, I wholeheartedly support and agree with, and I think you're right. I think you nailed it. If they hadn't just lost $5 billion, maybe that would be a place I should talk to and see if they need a spokesperson.
First of all, HP owns them now, and the founder of the company, the founder of Autonomy, that sold it to HP, he claims that HP is full of beans. Like big, that's a lot of beans. That's a whole lot of beans to be full of. So who knows? It'll be interesting to see how this story plays out. No matter what, it's incredible. You can tell I just had breakfast. It's incredible egg on the face for HP. No matter what, if they're wrong about the $5 billion, they look really bad. If they're right about the $5 billion, they look really bad.
It's not good anyway you slice that. That's gonna be interesting. Of course, HP has just turned over their CEOs twice in the last 3 years, so
this deal took place before the current CEO took her seat. I can't remember if it's a man or a woman right now. I think it might be a lady, but it still makes her look bad because it's not like she came from within the company, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. If I'm remembering the succession and timeline of things correctly, I think that's exactly right. In fact, I'm just going to do a quick Google search on this, see if I can pop up the name of that person so people know who we're talking about. CEO Meg Whitman. This is the new CEO, and she was not at the helm it was actually CEO Apotheker. Leo Apotheker was her predecessor. So he was the one that made that that agreement.
Yes, and so who knows? It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And as I said, I found it so strange. I can't imagine why so many news. This was big financial news, and nobody that I read about it had anything to say about what the company did. Maybe they found it too. Nobody was as good at explaining it as you just were.
they needed to call me. I would have told them what to
Told me. I thought I knew what they did, but you just really put it in black and white for me.
I don't know if I'm right though. Like I said, I didn't even bother to look their website up. So you've done more research than I have on this. Hopefully I didn't just confuse a lot of people.
I have to do two or three, four times more research than you do to know half as much as you do.
I'm just quicker at making stuff up. I think that's what it comes down to.
About that, I don't know. I can make stuff up, but then then fact checkers get involved and goes down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of making stuff up, and almost back to the McAfee thing to segue from that was I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a follow up. Semantic just found yet another virus that was specifically designed to go after the Iranians.
Oh, that's so sad.
Mm. Yeah, it's just terrible. Isn't it? They, I guess this one is designed specifically to corrupt databases, Iranian databases. There's similarities with Stuxnet, which we're all familiar with. That was the one that was targeted at Iran's uranium refinement capabilities, and was directed at their industrial software. This one here seems to be more directed at their financial markets. It looks for Microsoft SQL databases and then hunts for specific words, specific Persian words, which is Iran's main language, and replaces those words, things like savings account and financial bond, and also and replaces those words with random characters, and also deletes fields out of it. So it looks like it's specifically going after those banking information.
Well, there's not much left of the Iranian economy since they've been shut off from international banking.
Yeah. Yeah. No. you're absolutely right. And this isn't going to help anyway either.
Speaking of espionage and viruses and that kind of thing, have you seen the new James Bond movie yet?
Not yet. I want to. I've heard such good things about it.
Skyfall. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it at all, but they've actually scaled back the technology in this version, this movie. But there is one technical thing in there that any self-respecting geek will just go crazy about, and that is at one point there's the Bond villain has a laptop. The Bond villain, by the way, is an expert hacker.
Okay.
Expert magical hacker and all this other sort of thing. So they take that guy's laptop and they don't just put it into a network, they hardwire it, they put it Ethernet into a network. Mm. This really bad guy's laptop and put it in the network. Any self respecting geek knows you never, if there's a slightest concern about infection on a computer, you never let it get into your network.
Exactly. Yes. There was actually, and I didn't read it because I wanted to be not to have spoilers. There was a great article, I believe it was on io9, if you go to io9.com, and specifically about the things they got right and the things they didn't get right with the computer hacking on the movie Skyfall. I said, I just glanced through it, and the introductory paragraph I read, and they said that they got a surprising amount correct, and that most people would be satisfied with the level of technical accuracy of it. And they said, but there are a few things that hardcore geeks are going to notice. And that, that was probably one of them. Like I said, I didn't read through it because I didn't want to have all my surprise and fun ruined.
Yeah, well, that geek 101, if you've got an Atlas computer, get it off the network or bad things will happen.
That's
true. In this case, really bad things happen.
Yeah, and I've heard it's a great movie. Would you recommend people going to see it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's very good. And as I said, it's a cyber age Bond. But in terms of it presents itself as more simple. It's not as glitchy technically as other Bond movies have been.
That's kind of what I've heard too, and of course everyone's seen the famous intro scene where Bond comes into a train that's just been opened up like a sardine can, drops, lands on his feet, and then immediately stands up and shoots his cuffs and walks in. So for that scene alone, I think it's almost worth my $8 just to see that scene in context.
It's actually, you know, thinking back on it, it really was a pretty good movie. I would recommend it. I would recommend it very highly.
All right. Yeah, I it's one of those, if I can find some sitters, I'll be doing it. Yeah, I want to bring up one other news cast before I let you go here and bring on Mr. Garman. This one, I thought this would stand out for you. This really, because I know you know how compassionate you are and what a supporter of people all over the world, men, women, you know, and especially people that are being oppressed. This one really struck me. I don't know if you've seen the news articles that they now have SMS tracking of men's wives in Saudi Arabia, and that they actually are attaching these information pieces to women so that if they attempt to leave the country, an SMS text message will be sent to their husband to say, you know, your wife is attempting to leave. And
that's a big difference from the West.
Yeah. You
know, when we don't want to know where our wives are.
That's right. We just like as long as they leave enough money for a beer or two while we're watching football on the weekend, you know, go off and
there's in the fridge.
That's right. Now, of course, I mean, women in Saudi Arabia have a tremendous amount of things happening to them, you know, that makes this kind of pale in comparison, perhaps. It is one of the few countries in the world that denies women some fundamental rights, such as the right to travel without consent of their male husband. They are also not allowed to drive as well.
Yeah. I know that there was a protest years ago. I think it was in Kuwait after the war. All these ladies got their drivers in the car driving races around as a protest to try and get changed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, that was Manal al-Sharif, and she did defy the driving ban, and she YouTube video of herself driving around. And the typical sentence for disobeying that law would be to receive 10 whiplashes. And because of the global support that she received for this, she was spared those whiplashes. But the law itself still remains in effect and is still enforced with that. And I think that's another major difference between us and, you know, the West and Saudi Arabia is that the types of punishments that are levied tend to be far more physical and in nature. You know, we see punishment as, you know, pulling away our freedom. And that's what the punishment in the West is that, you know, the worst punishment you can give someone in the West is to say, I'm going to lock you up and take your freedom away from you and reduce your opportunities, because now you're not working, you're not, you know, proceeding, you're not taking advantage of the of what the West has to offer you for life and freedom and happiness. But in Saudi Arabia and other countries like this, that's not on the table. The freedom and opportunity is not there anyways. So the only kind of consequences and legality that can be applied tends to be these much more physical and, you know, demonstrably more oppressive sort of legalities, to say whiplashes and, you know, acid burnings and, you know, all these other crazy, you know, really horrible, awful things.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, it's interesting to see how much Facebook and Twitter affected the Arab Spring and that sort of thing. So hopefully our technical advances will continue to advance people's freedom and right to self-expression.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. And speaking of self-expression, give my best to Jay Garman. I've got a clock on my computer and I can tell you right now.
I'll definitely let Jay know. I sent him a quick note right before we came on here to let him know that that I was going to call him a little bit later today because we were going to spend some time together. Now, hopefully the next time, I know listeners out there listening, they can tell that you're not on a real solid Wi-Fi connection because we're getting some choppiness and some breakup from your conversation. But I can promise listeners, this is not going to be the last time that we're going to have Dave on for some morning news chat.
That sounds great. And I'm sorry about the bad connection. And I had a very good Wi-Fi connection at home, and we'll get the problem solved. It's also difficult for me because I'm getting feedback as we're talking, or never hard for me to, but to hear myself in echo is driving me crazy. Yeah. Love the audience, love the listeners, love you, love Mike, love Jay, customer Jones, and we'll talk probably next week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. And tell your Jay, thanks for letting us take some of your time here today too. And we'll definitely be in contact, and hopefully we can do it next week or whenever is available for you.
Yeah. We'll talk next week.
All right. Have a great rest of Thanksgiving weekend too.
Thanks. Have a great show. Bye, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dave Sparky Saganaki was on with us there, man. Yeah. And I know for anybody listening live and so on, I know the quality there was not up to our standards. Dave, as he said, was calling from one of those, hotel Wi-Fi environments, and those are really catch-as-catch-can. I've been with my travel lately, of course, been enjoying some of those myself. And it's not always the easiest, to deal with, but it worked out, and we got some great Dave time. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take us away just for a couple of minutes with some spots, and we'll be right back at you. You are listening to Tech Talk. This is WRLR on 98.3. Your host, Michael, Tech Talk caster. I'm going to be back at you in just a couple of minutes, and thanks for listening. Be right back.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
ATC Weggie is a proud sponsor of programming on WRLR. ATC Weggie has been providing accounting and taxation services for businesses and individuals in Lake County since 1960. They continue to provide financial services to businesses and individuals so they can meet their regulatory and tax filing requirements. ATC Weggie is located in downtown Grays Lake. For further information, their website is atcweggie.com and the phone number is 847-223-0777.
Hi, everybody. Listen to The Mitts, hosted by me, Tony Young, on Mondays from 4 to 5 in the afternoon. That's on WRLR 98.3 LPFM. Anything goes on The Mitts.
Hey, Lake County, you have a new voice in the morning. Wake up, listen, and call in each weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. to Paul Lepick and Angie Cook on Lepick & Company. Talk about breaking news and current events, or laugh with them about crazy entertainment items by calling the studio line at 847-380-9957. They will update you on current news, weather, traffic, sports, and stocks to help get you on with your busy day. So for laughs and talk with a local touch, tune in, listen, and call Lepick & Company at 847-380-9957, your source for talk in Lake County.
The Round Lake Area Public Library is a proud sponsor of WRLR. The library provides current information, formal education support, independent learning opportunities, and life enrichment materials to a highly diverse public by a trained team of individuals who will nurture a love for reading and learning. The Round Lake Area Public Library is located at 906 Hart Road in Round Lake and is open Monday through Sunday. The phone number is 847-546-7060. The website is rlalibrary.org. Se habla español.
All right, we are back. This is Tech Talk on Round Lake Radio, WRLR. Hey, let's see if we can bring on our good friend, Jay Garman. We just had a great talk with Dave Sparky Saganaki. If you missed that, you go to facebook.com/TechTalkWRLR. You'll be able to connect in with that and
No.
Good morning, Mr. Garman. Hey, great to hear from you.
Well, I'll change that after a few minutes of conversation, I'm sure, but good to hear from you.
I don't know about that. Now, Dave, we just had Dave Sparky Saganaki back on with us this morning, sharing some news and stuff, and he had good things to say about you. He wanted to spread some Thanksgiving cheer to you and all that good stuff.
Well, right back at him, and his Canadian exile, I hope, is not too terrible for him.
Yeah, well, he's apparently has left the country for the moment. We had a pretty shoddy Wi-Fi connection that he was connecting and Skyping with us on there, but he's going to return return shortly. So far it sounds like he's enjoying it though. We had a good time talking about some other people who in exile, such as our good friend Mr. McAfee, who's kind of gone off the deep end, and hoping that doesn't happen to Dave.
It's who would have thought that a guy who spent his entire life trying to make hyper secure privacy centric software would be a lunatic? I mean, what were the odds?
Yeah. Where would you think that paranoia and and all that would come into part of it would come into his character there?
Yeah, and especially the kind of guy that wanted to go live in a barely governed libertarian quasi-utopia in South America.
Yep. I was talking, there was some really good quotes from the Wired interview that he did, talking about how it's still a pirate state is the way that he described it anyways. And he was known to have copious amounts of firearms and drugs and alcohol around his compound there.
And that's a combination that never leads anywhere bad, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's only for, you know, self-protection and entertainment. At any time, of course, that somebody goes over the deep end, you can always start referring to their house as a compound, and it gets at that next level up. You know, if I ever go wacko, I people are going to start talking about my house as the Kassler compound.
That is sort of the code word for only crazy people live there. Although, to be fair, you know, any place that actually has multiple buildings surrounded by a wall, I think qualifies as a compound.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and, you know, and I've got a shed and a fence. So that may...
see? You're right. That's the compound starter kit right there.
I just need my own compost pile and maybe one extra building, you know, for putting the kids in when they're bad. And then we're all set.
Well, yeah. And, you know, in the old days, to be considered a cult leader, you had to have some sort of conspiracy theorist newsletter. But this is the modern age. I'm pretty sure this podcast would apply.
You could
sub that in for the qualification.
That and a couple of extra wives, I'm all set. I didn't realize I was so close. really isn't going to take much to get me over that edge there, is it?
No, you know, all we have to do is have Customer Jones turn up missing under mysterious circumstances, and you're going to be a person of interest.
That's it. Well, and funny you should mention, Customer Jones also says hello this morning. She stopped by the studio. She was the one that actually handed over some of the articles about Mr. McAfee and all that. So she was live and in person in the studio. She hustled out the door pretty quickly, but she was around. So if. if she does go missing though, I'm here and clearly on air. I've got proof and that there's nothing crazy going on here.
Well, and I am more than 5 hours away, so I clearly could not have gotten to her in a reasonable amount of time. Or if I did, I clearly have some sort of hypersonic transport, which is going to be way too valuable to send me to prison for. So
Yes, exactly. So speaking of hypersonic transports and high-tech gadgetry, did you get out and do any Black Friday shopping, or are you waiting for Cyber Monday, or just going to avoid the whole mess?
I avoided 95% of it. I needed a new phone. And Sprint was having an insane deal on the Galaxy S3. So on our way to dinner last night, we stopped by one of the smaller Sprint stores here in town, and there was literally no crowd, just walked right in. And they gave us the apology, like, we don't have them in stock, you'll get it in up to 7 days. I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever, but it was $50 for a Galaxy S3.
Wow!
I could not pass that up.
Yeah, no, that's great, man. I didn't realize that's. I've got my wife convinced now. She needs a smartphone, so we're at that point. I have to sit down and work out the best solution for us. And a friend of ours came over with one of the new Galaxy S3s, and as soon as he left and he had let her play with it, she's like, that's the one. I need that one because that's big enough for me to use and my aging eyes will not have a problem, and it looks like a real phone.
Well, you know, it was actually a bit of an issue for me, but the deal was just that I love a physical keyboard. I've got an old school Droid 2, and my wife's on Sprint, so I was going to go with Sprint because we could just. Here's another great deal: you can be added on to any existing Sprint plan for $10 a month. Like,
oh,
that's insane. Yeah, it's probably another $10 for the data plan, but still $20 a month for unlimited data. Okay. Fine.
But
I was going to Sprint and I was looking at all the phones, and I really wanted a physical keyboard, but any of the phones that had a decent Android operating system with a physical keyboard would have been $150.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of I can't justify spending an extra $100 for a keyboard.
Yeah.
When I can go get a Galaxy S3 for $50. I just couldn't do it. I'm like, all right, I'll do the soft keyboard. I'll make it work.
Well, and you know what? You may find that you don't miss it too much. I really kind of struggled against it myself too. I actually was an old school BlackBerry guy for a long time. And then when I switched to Android, and was lucky enough that it was a Motorola phone and it had the swipe keyboard usage where you can literally just kind of swipe your finger around on the screen's keyboard to spell out the letters, and it works really well, and I only need one hand to do things, whereas with the keyboard I was always using two thumbs, and I have big clumsy fingers anyway, so that it works. You might find in a little while that it's not too bad.
Well, you know, considering I have two small children, I really don't have a lot of time where I have two hands free. So that's probably true. I would never have gotten much use out of a physical keyboard.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, too, the other thing for me is I'm just, other than some real short little email responses when something's really critical or the occasional text message, that kind of thing, you know, foursquaring, you know, little message, I'm not doing a ton of typing on my phone. I know that's, some people really do a ton of texting, and then it's more important to have exactly the feel that you want, but that's just not the case for me.
No, the only time I do any serious, like, I've done some email composition, but it's only when I'm traveling. You know, it's like I'm walking through an airport and I've got a, you know, oh, is it a critical email? I've got to deal with it right now. I can't bother to go to find a spot with Wi-Fi and get my laptop out. I got to do it right now.
Yep.
So it's not critical. I'm not spending, you know, an hour and a half on a commute during the day. So it's not a big deal. It's part of the reason I still live where I live.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And honestly, now that I've gotten my iPad, most of the texting and email responding and things like that I would have typically done while traveling with my phone, I now do with my iPad, and it works. It works much better. It's a much easier thing to compose on. I wouldn't want to do it, you know, 6 hours a day, but while I'm traveling around, it works out quite well.
Yeah, I have high hopes for a couple of generations from now, the Surface laptops, mm-hmm. or Surface, you know, tablet tops, whatever we're going to end up calling these things, you know, touch laptops or whatever, because, you know, I like the idea of a tablet, you know, in terms of some interactions, but a lot of these early generation tablets, they don't come with a native keyboard, a physical keyboard, and B, the ones that do come with them don't come with touch pads.
Yes.
And as a guy who writes a lot, or who does, you know, a lot of, you know, stuff, you know, blogging-wise, and so where absolute precision positioning of the cursor is important, touch screens are awful.
Yes.
They're just awful.
Yes. Yeah, that is one thing that... you know, every time I see this, I think the Surface, it looks great. I love the fact that, yeah, it's got the built-in keyboard with it. You can, you know, really make it a true tablet, or even set it up and it looks pretty darn close to what you're used to with the laptop. But man, every time I use my iPad to type anything, and like you say, you know, you go in and you try to bold a word, or you try to just select an area, and I've got, like I said, those stumble fingers, and they just, I can't get it to do and place the cursor right where I want it to. Making a simple, adding an extra word or editing one that was from, you know, a couple sentences back is such a struggle.
Well, yeah, the nightmare function on any smartphone, and I don't care what phone you have, is copy and paste. Mm-hmm. Like, it is just infuriating. Like, I'm pretty sure you could get away with murder if your excuse was, well, I was trying to copy and paste an email on my smartphone, Your Honor, and then this person talked to me.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I understand. You would have to kill them.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Whenever I do text or do anything else more intensive on my smartphone, yeah, that it really is frustrating. It's a very frustrating. And sometimes, you know, you know that there's stuff wrong, and this is so tough for me to do with my bit of OCD that I've got. But it's helped me, because I've gotten to the point where I can just hit send, even though I know that it's not grammatically correct, and even though I can see that one of the words, you know, was either completely misspelled. It's like, you know what? It's close enough. For some reason, like, my phone always makes the word Ben, B-E-E-N, into the name Ben, B-E-N. And I've gotten over it now. I just, you know what? It's okay. They'll get it. And I just hit send.
Well, you know, that's sort of we aren't learning how to use computers. Computers are learning how to use us.
Yes, exactly. Oh, man. Hey, I wanted to hit on, completely off topic here, but I ran across, and I haven't listened to the podcast yet. And normally I wouldn't, of course, do this. I'm going to promote a different podcast, but the SF Signal podcast this week, you did just what sounds like an absolutely fantastic and very interesting podcast about how to get into hard sci-fi novels. And it struck me because I'm doing this right now with my son, my 10-year-old son. In fact, he's sitting out right now in the green room reading and things. But I'm trying to get him into some of the hard sci-fi and into the sci-fi that I loved so much. And the one that you point out specifically is Ringworld, which is just such a fantastic book. Larry Niven, if anybody out there hasn't read it yet, you got to go find a copy and pick it up. You can get it at the library. You can buy it still. I'm thinking it's still in production or in distribution. But I was curious. So people should go listen to the show. I know, and I'm not going to try to keep them from doing that. But I was really curious. I wanted to hear from you. What were some of the other picks for how to introduce people to sci-fi?
Well, Ringworld is sort of the consensus one, and we had a lot of different ones that went around, and I won't reveal them all because I do want my guys over at SS to get some love. But the one that really sparked a lot of controversy was one of my suggestions, which was Starship Troopers. I always recommend people read that. It's actually fairly hard sci-fi. It's got a lot of political undertones to it as well, which is rather infamous for.
Yep.
But I really want to introduce people to it because it's so different from the movie in so many ways.
Yes.
the movie is just so totally, it really only shares a name and sort of a general idea with the book.
Yeah, I think they both refer to the enemies as bugs, but that's about as close as it, as
yeah,
it gets.
Some of the character names are the same, and some of the same people die. That's kind of about the only same thing from the book and the movie.
and the things that I remember from the book most clearly, yeah, you're right, were nothing what was in the movie. It was the political undertones, but also, too, there was a real focus on some of that science, particularly the exoskeletons that the soldiers wore, and using those in an alien environment and getting used to that, and how that was made from just a technological advancement into a real tool of war.
Well, yeah, one of the main thrusts of the book is sort of the individual capability of a soldier and how they extrapolate from, we could, like, It's sort of a repudiation of drone warfare. Like, you always want humans in the field making battlefield decisions, mm-hmm. but you want them to have all the other technological advantages that we can give them. And so go forward from that hard sci-fi premise is one of the key points of the book. And it's the solution that Heinlein comes up with is really cool.
Yep. Yeah, you know, and now that you're bringing this up, it's making me think, man, I should go back and pick that one up again. But that also, too, is a good one, particularly for, you know, younger kids. It's one of those, it's a story, it's about war. It's painful because it is a war story, but it's not, you know, grotesque, and it's not just gore-filled, and it's not, you know, you don't have to worry that you're going to you know, impact a sensitive child, I guess, in a bad way, once, at least if they're beyond a certain age.
No, yeah, there is a death, but there is not gore. That is the way I would put it, is that the consequences of war and the costs of war and sort of the political and philosophical underpinnings of war are all sort of put forth for discussion, but it's not gratuitous.
Yes. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. It's not gratuitous. Hey, you know, and that was like, that's one of the things that, I would far rather have a deeply felt death, in a novel than to have things like, what was, Cameron's Avatar, where there's, you know, soldiers that are crushed by boxes as the plane is moving around, you know, things like this, where there's gratuitous gore, but there's no impact from it. It's just, oh, there's another person got squished. Yuck. You know, that kind of thing. I see no value or point to that, and I don't want my children to be inured to people suffering and dying. I want them to feel it and be impacted by it, but not necessarily have to deal with the mental imagery of a ton of gore and gratuitous violence.
Which I think the movie version of Starship Troopers completely fails to do. I think that's one of the failings of the movie, is that it is gratuitous in its violence in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think it's intentionally so. I think they made it to be like an over the top. It really came across to me as kind of like a 40s war promotion movie, really.
Oh, totally. Paul Verhoeven, who directed it, who also did the really, I love the original RoboCop, and that's probably Verhoeven's best picture. Mm-hmm. He also did the original Total Recall. He's a fun director, but I think his whole premise was, we're going to push this as a completely over-the-top propaganda film for a war that never happens.
Yes.
And sort of just show how war propaganda just subverts everything. But I think it was over, like, he went so far over the top that it sort of, the message almost got lost in the gratuity of it all.
Yep. No, I completely agreed. We've got time for like one. Well, you know what? Gosh, now that I look at the time, we don't have time for one more. I was going to have you tell me one more. We'll have to listen to the podcast. It's the SF Signal podcast. People can find that, I know, through iTunes, but also too, just do a Google search on it and it'll pop right up. And I think it's just sfsignal.com. Right?
That is correct.
Yeah, so it's easy to find, and there's a lot of other good stuff, not only Jay's recommendations, but Jeff Patterson, Patrick Hester, all these guys do a great job with that, I'm sure, and I'm looking forward to listening to it myself. Well, we should answer last week's Tech Talk geek trivia question and get the new one as well.
Yeah, so last week we asked what was the real reason that Atari developed the original Pong, because it wasn't originally developed for sale.
Yep.
And the reason is Nolan Bushnell, the co-founder of Atari, recruited a lot of the early Atari employees from a company called Ampex, which made electronic equipment. And one of the guys they brought in was a guy named Alan Alcorn, who had never developed video games before. Mm. And he could not make heads or tails of Bushnell's original spec for computer space, which was sort of an ancestor of Asteroids, which was one of the early actual arcade video games. And so what Bushnell said to Alcorn is, here's the Magnavox Odyssey table tennis game, console game. Go reverse engineer that, and we're going to sell it to General Electric as one of our first video games. Only there was no contract with General Electric. He was just giving this to Alcorn as a training exercise to see if he could figure out how to make a video game. The problem was, Alcorn did such a great job making this really great table tennis simulator that Bushnell's like, oh no, we have to sell this. And so he developed a prototype of it and put it in Andy Capp's Tavern in Menlo Park, California, hoping to show that it was a viable arcade product that he could sell to Bally, who made pinball machines. The problem was, after a couple of days, it was so overstuffed with quarters, it stopped working. It was so popular that Bushnell then backed out of the contract with Bally and built it himself and sold it for Atari. It was the most first commercially successful video game.
Wow.
But it was strictly designed as a training exercise. It was never intended to be sold.
Wow, and that's interesting too. So it got its start at Andy Capp's Tavern. So when the patrons were done beating their wives and lecherously looking at it, I'm sorry, I'm making reference back to the old Andy Capp comic book. I no aspersion on anyone in Menlo Park, California, but wow. Well, you know, that's really funny. So he had no idea that this didn't have any sort of market, that there wasn't anything for it. It was really just sort of a training exercise for him.
Yeah, which is why we got all that sort of stuff. This is totally stolen from the Magnavox Odyssey, and there were some legal repercussions for that, and so on and so forth. He never intended to sell it because it was a total knockoff of a console game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can't make money copying somebody else's work like that, can you? But he did such a great job. One of Alcorn's great innovations was to make it so based on where you hit it on the paddle, it would ricochet off at a different angle, which completely enhanced the gameplay. So you're like, oh, we have to sell this.
Yeah Absolutely. And it was a fun game at its time, and I recall playing it many times myself, many hours spent on that. So what should we be thinking about for the coming week?
So Monday is Cyber Monday.
Yes,
and
it is.
That it's one of the biggest shopping days of the year. So we have I could do something easy like who coined the term Cyber Monday and how long have we tracked it, but those are pretty easy to find. So do something a little more prescriptive. What percentage of employers who've been surveyed by professional industries have fired people for shopping at work on Cyber Monday?
Oh, that's a great question. Man, and hopefully many of those are in the FBI and in our law enforcement. Other areas, maybe airline pilots in flight. You know, if they're shopping online, that's a fireable offense. I think. Hopefully, not too many others though.
That's going to be interesting to see what the actual industry breakdown is. But I have tracked down the actual reported percentage of companies that have overall fired people because of Cyber Monday, which is another way of saying, what are your chances of being fired for shopping at work
yes.
on Cyber Monday?
Oh, this is great. Of course, by the time that we're reporting this, we'll we may be talking to some of these unemployed people. But it'll be that is a great one. I am really looking forward to that. That's going to be very cool. And for anybody that is listening out there right now, keep that in mind. Probably not a great idea to be shopping during work hours where your boss can spot you. You might want to, you know, at least throw on Tor or something on your computer so you can get away with it a little bit easier. Or wait till lunchtime. Anyways.
Or use your smartphone.
even better. As long as it's not a company-controlled phone, dive right in on that smartphone. Well, Jay, I'm going to let you go. I'm sorry to rush us right at the end here of the show. We were really pushing over the time limit. But man, as always, thanks for coming on. People can find out stuff about you at jaygarman.net. And as we mentioned earlier, sfsignal.com, too, is a great place to catch up on your latest stuff where they actually gave you time to talk.
Yeah, to their enduring regret.
Yeah, I doubt that, seriously, particularly with the hard SF signal primer. I'm looking forward to listening to that. I'm probably going to throw it on as I'm driving home today. So, well, thanks again, and we'll have a great rest of your Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and we'll talk at you next week.
All right, have a good weekend, buddy.
Take care. Jake Garman, jakegarman.net. Oh my gosh, holy cow. If Dave was actually physically in the studio right now, I think he'd have his hands around my neck throttling me for how far overtime we are. You're probably lucky because, as I said, the podcast only song of the week this week is one that I can't even make it through listening to the whole thing. So if you're listening, you may need to turn this off part of the way through. I understand. Just make sure you come back to listen to WRLR on 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk at you next week. And this is Bohemian Rhapsody with our good friend, Mr. Shatner.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide? No escape from reality. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy. 'Cause I'm easy come, easy go. Little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. To me, Mama, just kill a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, oh, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, as if nothing really matters. Time has come, sends shivers down my spine, body's aching all the time. Goodbye, everybody, I've got to go, gotta leave you all behind and face the truth. Mama, oh. I don't want to die. I sometimes wish I'd never been born at all. I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning. Figaro. I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family. He's buried his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go? Miss Mala.
No, we would have had to go.
Let me go, Miss Mala. Mamma mia, mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me.
nothing really matters. Anyone can see. Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters to me. Anyway, the wind blows. Anyway, the wind blows.